So we are here with Mark Beach, writing for Dante Mag. So,
hello,
Mark. What do we say about you? I mean, you have written books about rock. You are the critic for Bloomberg Channel, and you write about anything regarding to music. So, how do we describe you?
It's difficult. One thing that a lot of people say is that this is the man who listens to 1,000 new CDs a year, which I do for my job. And sometimes I've been on BBC Radio plugging some of those and saying these are the good ones. So I guess that's probably the thing that people think about most is the amount of music I listen to.
So how do you choose? I mean, and don't you get confused? 1,000 CDs, yeah, that's a lot of music to listen to, plus the one that you pick up on a radio or somewhere else.
And that's absolutely the case, because I'm listening all the time for good stuff, and it comes to me as I'm just walking down the street and I'll hear something coming out of a bar, and I've even been known to go into the bar and say, what is that you're playing? Because that's really good, or a record shop or something. So yeah, it's all the time, and I'm sure there are things that I forget amidst that lot, but if I hear something that's good, I put it on one side and I'll come back to that and listen to it again.
All right, so how do you select them? Once you have received them, you listen how many times?
I listen once, first of all, usually when I'm doing something else, just to get me some idea whether it's worthwhile at all. And there are some which, frankly, I'll just reject on that, because the vast majority of the CDs I get are not very good. There'll be lots of ones that are trying to sound like U2 or like Springsteen, or they're just not very original, and those I'll just say that this is no good. But if I get something, there's a spark of interest, I'll give it a few more plays and see how it goes from there.
Did you ever made anything that a wrong decision, saying, oh no, I rejected this one, and then it went on top of the charts or something?
I'm sure I did, and I'm trying to think of a good example of that, but fortunately I've got amnesia when it comes to wrong choices.
Is it voluntary amnesia?
Yeah. Certainly, I know that there were some of the Kanye West albums, for example, where the first time around I was not so impressed and gave them a pretty damning review saying this isn't much good. And after a few more plays, I'd kind of got it and I realised, no, I was wrong, actually, this is a good one. So, yeah.
So we are here to talk about the Wacky Rock, the article you've written for Dante Mag.
Right.
So how do we start with that? What is Wacky Rock?
Well, the thing to say about any kind of music you listen to is that artists who are producing art have got to be, by definition, a little bit insane. There's got to be a bit of an insanity, a bit of passion in there, which makes you kind of non-logical. And that's what I was looking out for in this. It's records which are just not the normal sort of thing you'd hear on the radio, perhaps. Something a bit different.
So is passion and insanity something that goes together, according to you? Or in rock, at least?
It very much so. It's most of the great rock records, you think about it, if you started with a blank sheet of paper, would you have produced anything like that? You know, and even something as catchy as, like, say, this, I'm not saying this is a great rock record, but Kylie Minogue with I Can't Get You Out of My Head. You know, if you started with a blank bit of paper, would you start thinking, oh, you've got to have na-na-na-na-na-na-na? And that sort of thing. And it's like, you know, it's by being a bit crazy that you come up with something which is really catchy.
So isn't that the loop? Na-na-na-na. Are you suggesting they should put that more into the rock things rather than the pop?
Maybe. And I don't know. It got even more wackier as time went on, when people started thinking this has got a similar time signature to Blue Monday by New Order, and they started putting those together, and that makes some really interesting stuff.
So have you seen any of those sort of changes lately, like the Kylie Minogue version of New Order?
Yeah, it's happening all the time, and increasingly with rock now, where again, you could come back to Kanye or Eminem and the rap market, and they're taking things from anywhere and everywhere more than they used to, and just putting them together to mix things, and that can result in some very strange combinations, which are pretty inspiring at the same time.
So, talking about the strange combination, I mean, what do we have wacky in your list at the moment?
Well, having mentioned Kanye and Eminem, well, we could move on from them, but of all the things that are around, I felt that one of the most inspiring albums of the last year was Arcade Fire with Reflector. And that is just a definition of wacky, and also a definition of a really good rock record.
So, any particular song of that, or the whole album?
Oh, the title track from there on Reflector is quite amazing, yeah.
Okay, what, anybody else?
People of the Past and someone like Julian Cope, has been around for a long time. They actually had a record called Fried, which is, and it's got a picture of him on the cover of that where he's looking a bit like a turtle or something, and it's just like totally off the wall strange, but also quite brilliant.
Do you think the cover has to represent the music sometimes?
A lot of great covers do say something very much about the music. Not always. They have something that's totally different. Fried is a great example of that. Or even one I mentioned in the article, Mike Oldfield with Voyager. Perhaps not the greatest of rock records, but what a strange cover that one is.
And yeah, but then it was the first one of us, right? Voyager. Or was Tubular Bells the first one?
Tubular Bells was the first one, right. Yes. This was the later one,
right,
where he'd gone totally crazy at the stage, and he's dressed up in sort of a leather kind of really odd outfit, sitting on the top of a hill and looking like sort of some kind of New Age guru. And you're thinking, Mike, what's going on there? It's just, it's strange.
What was going on there?
Well, he was putting together loads of thoughts. It was Voyager, it's a concept album about travel, and so he's got a bit of Celtic music in there. He's got all sorts of different things going on. And it does kind of make sense, but it takes a long time to get that.
So with Mike Oldfield, what does Moonlight Shadow looks like when you're talking about wacky rock?
Mike Oldfield's been through a heck of a lot. People don't realise that from the time of Tubular Bells onwards, then he was sometimes a man who was very much on his own and eccentric and introverted. But he's moved on from that and is now a very normal individual, I'm pleased to say. I've interviewed him a few times. He's a nice guy.
And where is he now?
I'm actually not sure where he's living. He was last in tax exile, but in terms of his music, he's just finished a new album, which is supposed to be coming out later this year. Haven't heard it yet, but from what I hear, it's going to be really interesting. One disc of music, which is just totally instrumental, and another one, which is going to be with vocals on, the same thing.
So will he be wacky, or will he be just rock?
Mike has ceased to be quite as wacky as he used to be, but which is probably in his case a good thing. There comes time when you have to slow down a little bit and start thinking about what to do next.
Do you think it comes with age?
I think it does, yes. There's something to do with getting a bit more. It might be midlife crisis in the case of some people. It might be maturity in the case of others.
Okay, what about young and wacky rock?
Young wacky rock. You know, there are people that have been around for a long time, which are now starting to come on through again. And, you know, we'd mentioned Julian Cope there, who's been around for a while. But some of the more modern stuff that's happening is just, like, extraordinary. And, like, you know, you think of someone like even Regina Spektor, who's a singer-songwriter from the US. Very wacky. Tori Amos as well, as going down that same road.
Tori Amos seems to pop out all the time, right? I mean, how does she fit? I mean, she's been going on for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Tori, I remember interviewing her at a press conference with other people, and she was saying, this is a long time ago, someone said to her, do you believe in magic? And she said, yeah, I believe in fairies as well. And we were going, what? What is she on? I don't think she was on anything, because she did say afterwards she'd been drinking a lot of coffee, but I think that was it.
Oh, that was enough for her.
It certainly was.
So, Mark, to wrap up, if you have to name the three wackiest pieces of rock, that what would that be?
Well, number one, the Beach Boys, led by the insane genius of Brian Wilson, with tracks of an ecological theme, such as Cabbages, done in 1967-ish. Around the same time, number two would be Arthur Lee of Love, with a well-insane hippie record called Forever Changes. And number three would be John Lennon with Yoko Ono, Two Virgins, experimental to the point of being completely crazy.
Okay, well, thank you, Mark, for being with us, and we'll see you next.